Carson Small was associated with our company from those days when it was called Barbados Rediffusion Service Limited. Many will recall him playing the role of George on Children's Party with Auntie Olga. But over the years, he became much more than that for us. He had a strong belief in God and demonstrated a determination not to allow the disability of blindness to handicap him. With that belief and that determination, he helped and motivated many, many people in this country and in this company. Starcom Network saw him as an icon for the differently able in Barbados, and it was for this reason that he spearheaded the program Visions on Voice of Barbados for several years. Carson Small made an outstanding contribution to his community and to Starcom. May he rest in peace.
Good morning. Condolences to the family and friends of Mr. Carson Small. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome to those in Barbados and those listening over and away, whether it's in the Caribbean, whether it is in what we regard as international. Today is Thursday, 23rd of August, 2018. The number to call, 434-1790, WhatsApp, 266-IVOB, or 266-4862. Our producer today is Mr. Dennis Johnson, and we will go with you until 1:30 p.m. Today, I'm sure you have a number of matters to discuss. I think one, particularly for the entire week, the matter of disaster planning, disaster preparedness, disaster mitigation, all those things relative to how would Barbados fare in a particular challenge. And for sure, I wasn't thinking of an earthquake, believe it or not, but I was part of that shaking on Tuesday. And I was sitting in my office, believe it or not, started to feel a little jiggle. And then I looked around and I'm the only one there, so there was no one to look at. And then I saw my empty bottle, plastic bottle that is. It just fell. And I said, no, I have to get up. So I literally got up. I heard the shaking of the rafter, not the rafter on the roof, but I heard the opening of the window, that thing that, it's like a jealousy. And then I went out of the office and one of my fellow tenants, she came upstairs and she said, did you feel something? And we both agreed that something is going on, so we probably need to call it a day. That was just after 5:30. So yes, what kind of preparedness do we have in our Barbados? Not specifically only for earthquakes, but if we had major floodings. I was on the road yesterday in that large downpour, and there was significant flooding on my way to Bridgetown. Then I also saw that, you know, scenarios really not just limited to flooding, but how would we handle if there was a water outage for any length of time. And as I continue to liaise with my colleagues in Dominica, who are still reeling from those challenges, that critical issue of disaster planning and business planning as well, because the disaster does in fact affect us in the homes, but then what about the businesses? How ready are they to resume normalcy or to resume business practices in a way that there's not that significant disruption to the bottom line? And I really want to remind business persons and entrepreneurs, anyone who's in the field of trade in some form or fashion, try putting a plan in place. Try considering what are the areas in which you can focus if there was a disaster. How quickly can you resume? How quickly can you be able to reach out to your clients? Do you have a list? Do you have something off-site? Simple things. But it is really for us to consider the matter of disaster planning and business planning, whether it is in the home or at the business place. Please consider it, because Barbados is susceptible to external shocks, and they're not only economic shocks. They are natural disasters that can impact us and impact us for a very long time. How many of us have simple things like wills put in place? We have an aging population, and a will is just a simple document that says, these little assets that I have, or these big assets that I have, I want these to go to X person. It doesn't take too much for us to plan. And then in the scenario of a business, this is how we would resume. These are where we will have our data and our client list and those things. If the building itself were to be shattered, if there was a fire, where do you have your documents? Does anyone have marriage certificate, birth certificate, and all those key documents, passport, put off in a place that if there was a fire or a flood, that they can access them quickly and put them in safe harbor? Let us consider the matter of business continuity, disaster planning. We are, in fact, in the hurricane season, and Barbados has not suffered significantly to date in this season. But we do have a lot of our plants, and I mean our housing structure and a number of our buildings, not necessarily equipped for any major onslaught. So I encourage you to consider the future. The future can be bright and it can also be bleak, but we have to prepare in some form or fashion. That is my consideration for Down to Brass Tacks, the day the 23rd of August 2018. I'm sure you have a number of matters before you, but I look forward to hearing your calls and engaging you. My name is Lisa Gale. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, my name is Ronaldo Niles. I'm calling from Boston.
Good morning.
Yes, I want to extend my condolence to Mr. Carson's small family.
Yes.
He and I grew up from the same neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And he was like brothers, a very, very good man.
Okay.
He taught me to do the right thing. And I'm glad that I was in Barbados in July. And I went by to pay him a visit.
Okay.
And I was very happy to see him. And I just want to extend my condolence to the Small family.
Yes.
And also we lose the next St. James man, Mr. Clay Hines from St. James. Just want to extend my condolence to his family also.
Mr. Clay?
On behalf of the Boston Party.
What's the name, sorry?
The name from St. James?
Yes. Clay Hines. Mr. Clay Hines. Okay.
Yeah.
St. James. Okay. My condolences to you and those who knew Mr. Clay Hines as well. Have anything else? Okay, this is Dr. Brastatz.
Good morning, madam. Greetings and salutations to your good staff.
Greetings to you too, sir.
I'd like to make a few comments this morning, hoping that I won't be cut short during my conversation with you.
Okay.
Solitude is a wonderful thing. When one is at peace with oneself, and when there is a definite task to accomplish. I was awaiting the official post-mortem of the DLP, May 24th, 2018 general election. Now that is now out of the way, with the new elections of the DLP's new female president, my congratulations goes to her. It is known that I am a member of the BLP, but I wish Ms. DePisa well in her new post. I won't be wrong as I am heading for the departure lounge. Therefore, I won't be amongst those to celebrate the honorable Mayor Marty QCMP 20 years of unbroken leadership. The meeting held last Sunday at the Atchison Memorial School, where representative of that constituency, the Honorable Sancho Bradshaw, spoke about her health publicly. She should be commended. I take the opportunity to wish Ms. Bradshaw a speedy recovery. However, that meeting has brought a lot of things to light where the Honorable Mayor Amar Marley gave us a lot of political food for thought, causing me to reflect on Mr. Ezra Allen's penultimate paragraph on page 8A, the Sunday Sun dated August 12, 2018. Mr. Allen shortchanged us when he made mention of Eager Levin. Had he expiated true political diplomacy by mentioning the fervent poor, it had filled in well with his quotation before it attributed to the late Prime Minister of England, Clement Attlee. You must have confidence in the man in charge. If you haven't got that confidence, he's not fit to be Prime Minister. It is going to take a very long time before Ms. DePisa be able to rub shoulders with our Prime Minister, as the LPD has to begin before our each represent 5 years. Are for rejects, are for rejuvenating, are for repair, and four are for the rebuilding.
This now, is dumb.
His Excellency El Walton Bar legacy has been sorrowfully damaged. Mayor Ms. DePisa has a road to travel. That road that she has is a very hard road. She has to reject, rebuild, and rejuvenate. Over to your good self for your comment, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. What the only question for you would be, what does she have to reject? I understand the rejuvenating, the repairing, and the rebuilding. Are you speaking in past tense?
Hello?
Good morning. This is Don't Brass Tax. I was with the other gentleman, but he seems to have gone off.
I'm on right now?
Yes, I can hear you clearly.
Well, fortunate. All right. Good morning, Lisa. I wanted to find out something. I came from the news, I think it was on Tuesday night, where the Prime Minister was talking about the delegation who went to the UK.
Yes.
To check out the garbage truck.
Yes.
Right, you heard that extract?
I heard the extract. I actually heard the presentation on Sunday. I was watching it on Facebook Live.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that part. I just heard a little bit that showed on the news. Okay, so what puzzled me a little bit there was, there was a delegation that was sent to find out or to get some information from the garbage trucks that we need, huh?
Yes.
And what she said was that they had some person or a group from a company here that was following this delegation.
Yes.
And when it was brought to the attention of the government here in Barbados, mm-hmm. they were like, you know what? I'm back home. Be humble with that.
Right. That's exactly what I heard.
Right. I'm just a little bit puzzled, but the delegation went there to do a job, right? Which was to find some garbage trucks, much needed garbage trucks, I must add, because we are in short supply. And because they had some people following them around, they were told to come back home.
That's what we heard.
I understand, but does that make sense? And that's what I was trying to figure out. I was asking some friends of mine that, and I was like, what possible reason? And nobody could come up with anything that makes sense, because at the end of the day, you have a job to do. You know, it costs money. We ain't going to Trinidad. So going to the UK is pretty expensive, one. Number two is that we still ain't getting garbage trucks yet. And I can't find out. I'm trying to figure out. I understand, you know, from how she was saying it, that it would seem as though, like, previous administration might have been, you know, I don't know if been the members of other car companies go or follow them around, that they're false susceptible to them. But I am thinking that you're not making the decision over there. The delegation that goes there is going to bring back the data and, you know, whatever recommendation they found that would help our garbage situation. And then the decision will be made here in Barbados, I'm thinking. So I'm trying to figure out the rationale behind why the delegation was called back.
And none of your friends would have been able to...
No, nobody. And I'm like thinking, you know what?
You think Starcom can help you?
Let me just put it out there and see if somebody could help me, because I have no idea. It doesn't make sense. You have an idea?
I don't have an idea, but I will tell you that when I heard the PM herself, it sounded very clear to me why you would want to abort a particular negotiation if you believe that it is compromised. I'm surprised that you're also surprised.
But when you say it is compromised, because people are following you
around. I don't have any other details than what you have. But when I heard the PM herself, her rationale seemed very logical. Because if you were to have gone to purchase a vehicle, you yourself, to the store, and you sent, actually not you, you sent your son, your 25-year-old son, go and check out.
He was capable, he is knowledgeable in this thing.
Right, so you sent your son to go, and you sent him with a brief. Mm-hmm. The brief has in what type, you know, because it's kind of like it's a fact-finding mission, I am assuming. I don't have all those details.
Right.
And you see that there are options, you know. Mm-hmm. And you chose the UK.
Right.
And then when your son has gone to the... You're not so sure. He's supposed to have negotiations with, let's say, X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
But you got wind that he is having discussions with X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C. And you didn't send him with all of that. You sent him with X, Y, and Z.
Okay, wait. We've gone off a little bit. We've gone to the UK to look at...
We're talking about your son. You sent your son to go and purchase. I'm just using a scenario that may help you, because you said you have no idea why persons would have been called back and the trucks aren't purchased as yet. So I'm trying to help you to think of why they could possibly have been brought back home.
Okay, go on. I'm working with
you. So your son went to purchase these particular vehicles, or this one vehicle. He has all of the inside information that you would have given him. You've given him permission, let's say, if you want to, you know, juxtapose that with Parliament or Cabinet, really, more so Cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get there, you find out that he's making negotiations with more information or more details than what you shared with him. So in other words, you told him to use Scotiabank or any particular bank, and he decided he's going with something else. He's going outside of what parameters you have given him.
Hold on a second. You're reaching there a bit, though.
No, I'm saying your son went to purchase something, and he's gone with more. You gave him, let's say you gave him three sets of parameters to work within, and he decided he's going to use five sets of parameters, which can have implications for you in some form, because if you said you only purchasing... Sorry?
The thing is, I understand where you're going with this, right?
I'm not finished. If you said you're only purchasing one vehicle... with $25,000, and he decides that he's going to listen to Scotiabank. You know, there's an ad going right now with if you purchase a car,
you can get anything. I know.
Not anything. You can get a staycation, but you may not want a staycation. You just want your son to go and purchase the vehicle. So you say, you know what? Come back home, man. I didn't send you up there to go and get a staycation. I sent you to go and get a vehicle. That's what I gathered from the PM. I'm not sure if you gathered anything different.
No, I didn't gather that part. Because first of all, it's interesting that you should use the example of like a 25-year-old. I am thinking that if you're going to send a delegation, that they're going to be capable.
Capable. He has everything that you think he needed. And you gave him so you told him, I'm only spending $50,000. This vehicle, whatever vehicle we are purchasing, is only going to be $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you go out there, you're making decisions or doing something outside of the parameters that your father then your father has a right to call you back home. But that's all I can gather from it. If you have anything else, I think you should ask some more of your friends.
Let me just respond to the example that you were given just now, right?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I would like to think that when you pick in a delegation, especially to go so far with something so important, that they're capable people. Not people that, you know, at an ad or whatever example you want to choose, that they're just going to change their mind and sway from what was their...
But I don't think that's not what my example suggested. If you thought that was possible from the compromise discussions,
right,
or the compromise negotiations, then you're sure right to call back. If
right, but hold a second. First of all, there was no indication that whoever was following them around was actually interfering with.
But you know that we don't have any details, so right now all we are doing is just guessing. Right.
Yeah,
so you came on air with no information.
Right.
I don't have any more than you have.
Uh-huh.
So
what we know for a fact is that delegation went up.
We know all of that. We went through that. But you said you are challenged with why they would be called back home. And I tried to create a scenario for you.
It makes sense to you. I'm saying it still isn't making sense to me. And
okay.
Even with the example that you give, I'm having great difficulty trying to...
Well, try sending your son somewhere to go and buy something for you. And he does something different from where you sent him. And tell me if you aren't going to be upset or offended.
Yeah, but who said that the people did anything different? The people weren't purchasing the trucks. The people were just gathering information.
I hear you. But you know good well. You know good well that if you sent your son to have a conversation with the bank or to have a conversation with the tire shop or whoever, the mechanic shop or whatever, and he got more information or did something outside of the brief that you gave him, you have a right as the sender to make a change to the original negotiations. I'm surprised that you are so...
No.
Okay.
You see, because the thing about it is that, first of all, it wasn't like they were going to buy the truck. They're just going to gather the information.
You don't know that. We don't know that. We know that a brief was sent up.
Uh-huh.
We know that a brief was sent up and negotiations were supposed to be started. So you can't say that they weren't supposed to buy the trucks. You don't know that?
Well, maybe it is that they could come and explain this. Because it just seems as if it was a political point to be made. That's just how it comes across to me. And a very expensive political point at that.
It is very possible. Oh. I'm sure. Trust me, the PM, was wrong a long time, huh?
When it is that we here looking at every cent that we're spending, and we send up a delegation, like you said, to the UK, it is not cheap. And then the... recall them because you fear that it is compromised because if people follow you around from the island at which you came, it isn't adding up.
I don't have as much more information than to share anything else, but
yeah, but maybe to get some more.
I do have the rationale. I do understand the rationale for a decision to rescind a delegation.
Yeah, I could understand if it is something, if something extreme happens, like if everywhere the delegation went, that the people were interfering with the discussion.
But you don't know that?
Maybe, and then the authorities would be called in. Because
but you do not know that didn't happen. Suppose the minister did not bring, the PM did not bring
but
as
you
much.
But you know that if that was the case, that would be one of the first things that would be highlighted, man. Come
but,
on.
But it was highlighted. She just didn't give as much information to the public as probably she wanted to.
Wait a minute. If it was that the people from here were interfering in any way,
we do not know that. And suppose they were, and that is what led to her decision. I find that you're trying to be difficult.
You think that she would leave that part out?
But who says she didn't say it? Who says you read the wrong thing out of it?
I listen to news like you listen to news.
You just said that you didn't hear anything. You spoke to your friends. I told you what
I
heard.
No, no, I listened to the news. I said I spoke to my friends to find out if they could understand.
I heard the face, but like you said, you only heard it on the news, which was possibly a clip. So that means you didn't hear the whole rationale then?
Yes, but you said that you listened to the Facebook clip.
Right.
So I do believe that if there was additional information, like if it was that the people from here were interfering with the delegation, that would have been mentioned, and you would have come in and said, hey, listen, sir,
I won't come and say it. Trust me. I, from the time you asked, the questions you asked, and the position with which you took, I know that you probably know a little bit more, but you're pretending not to know what you don't want to say.
Honestly, I am not that sort of person.
I don't know you, and you don't know me.
And exactly, and I'm saying to you, I do not know anymore. I am like totally in the dark.
Right. So we are both in the dark, but there's something called reasoning. And there's something called listening to people's intonations and their rationales, and you pick sense from what they're saying, and I'm sure you come to your conclusion sometimes without having all of the facts.
It's just you've been going on a limb here, and I never really would like.
Well, thank you. What I'm going to do, I'm going to wrap you here. I'm going to thank you for it, and I'm probably going to ask, I'm going to hope that if somebody else has any more information to help you and to guide you, that they will be able to share it on the air before we end at 1:30 p.m. Is that decent? This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning to you, Miss.
Good morning, good morning.
I hear an echo very low. I don't know if it's the orange card I get in it.
I didn't hear anybody else, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, there seems to be some technical glitch cards. They're supposed to be your first card.
You're a technician?
No, I was supposed to be your first caller.
Oh, you were supposed to be.
Yeah.
So you are the producer?
No.
My producer gave me two other calls, three calls.
All right, I gotta before tell you. I had to call back because I dropped out.
All right, sir.
Okay.
Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. How are you doing? And may you proceed, please?
Yeah, but I tell you the important of the beat that who inside don't seem to know about.
And I asked you just now if you're a technician. If you're not a technician, stop trying to do the technician's job.
Lisa, I'm not doing a technician's job. I tell you what is happening on this side,
okay,
where the callers are. Because who inside don't seem to know that there's a beat.
But did beat. You listen to the program last week?
Last week?
Yes.
What was that?
The producer took a minute out of my program.
Mm-hmm.
And came on to explain to the caller subsequent to you, because you mentioned that there was not a beat. Subsequent to you said that there's a beat. And then the producer explained why there's a beat sometimes and then why there's not a beat.
Mm-hmm.
He indicated that if he puts it in while an ad is on, you would not hear a beat. Did you hear that last week?
I'm not disputing that, though.
Okay.
I'm just saying that it sounds like the beat seems to be some accident that, according to what I heard the producer explain himself,
let me quicken you quickly to just say a review. When you call and you can hear and you're on air, just start with what you want to share and please do.
Lisa, I ain't making an argument, you know. I just trying to tell you the importance of the beat is you know when you're on. Because before that,
but you know you don't always get the, if you're listening to your phone, if you call someone and there is a scenario where you may get a beep and then you may not get a beep. Don't depend on the beep, sir.
You're missing it, though.
But I clearly am.
You think it? I mean that the beep is essential. If not, you'd be confused. Because you wouldn't know when you're on. That, I mean, if it was an accident, but it's a good one, right? Because it's essential, then you wouldn't know when you're on. Anyhow, I want to take you back to a cartoon from last week. When I was talking about the thing you said that your final effort was the law that the passenger can be reported if not stopping a bus other than the bus stop.
Yeah, we confirmed that last week. I didn't think we needed to go and do any research.
No, I you answered it with certainty. That's what I asked.
Okay.
Right. So. It goes to show that a law don't necessarily going to be rational, because I understand that the police is still report the bus driver, which he should, right?
Okay.
Because reporting a passenger is kind of stupid, even though it might be a law, right? Because I had this discussion with a ZR driver. You see, the problem with them is that it is about making money. So I asked him why it is that they can't stop at the bus stop. But his argument is passengers want you to stop anywhere for them, and if you don't stop, you would be losing that money. You're losing, they wouldn't want to catch anymore. So you see where the thing is, if it was the law, the bus driver is breaking the law, not only bus driver, the conductor too, because the conductor is who responsible for the bus. So it is just kind of like silly to me. Although you actually making an irrational law to control the democratic right of a person, because I don't see the I know that the Prime Minister when he was in office he said that a law don't have to be logical, but there's no wisdom in reporting the passenger. But I understand the police is still report the driver, because it's something that can happen all the time, because a passenger is going to be looking at getting the bus and getting where they want to go. Right. The other thing I want to say is last week you said you never saw a two-legged primate.
No, I didn't. I'm a primate.
Huh?
I'm a primate.
I heard that. I thought you said that you never see a two-legged one.
Okay. I would be real out of place.
Okay, but I thought that's what you heard though.
Mm-hmm.
But
you can't see that I am one.
Well, I thought you were trying to say that we are not. We are
not
primates.
Okay.
You can see that we are also animals too?
Sorry?
We are also animals.
A primate can fall in that category.
Right. By definition. If we weren't.
We're part of the animal kingdom.
Yeah. And you're going to need to understand. And this is why I actually told you that I can explain to you why I say there's a difference between spirituality and religion. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. You believe everything can be measured?
Sorry?
You believe everything can be measured?
I haven't given it thought, so you share what you want to say.
All right. I can remember we had a discussion and you said that you can't be more spiritual. You're just either spiritual or you're inspiritual.
Okay.
But it got something to do with the human being developed. And what I mean is if intelligence can be measured, it cannot be really measured in an absolute way, but it can be measured like how you measure time. You actually put it in a box, right, and measure it. Because it will go up by how, how a person is capable of using the imagination, what have you, the intellect. You know, you can put them on a test, but still that person can catch up. If you understand me, it's not an easy thing to be measured in an absolute term, but it can be measured at a particular time. The person can grow, that's what you're trying to say, right? So everything can be measured. The term religion, right, is an abstract. All of we can fall into a category of being religious because we cannot have our own truth. So what calls us to come into one understanding is that the soul itself is what knows the truth. But we get separated and split up by the egos, right? So that is why I would say there's a difference. The introvert is one that do a lot of reflection and have a lot of understanding about himself, while the extrovert has a lot of understanding of the outer world and follow a lot of things that goes on in the politics and the laws and rules and so on. So that's the difference, is that if one follows doctrines and rules, and the next one follow his own understanding. Because he that believes that Jesus is an individual that coming back somewhere for him is actually religious. The spiritual man knows that he himself have to bring heaven down here. Heaven dwells within. He's who got to bring it down here by awakening that light within. I ain't gonna bother to bore you anymore. So you have a lovely day.
Thank you so much, sir. Dr. Brastax.